Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. As 2025 comes to a close, we find ourselves reflecting on the restaurants we lost this year and will miss in the St. Louis region. Joining us now to discuss that and to share what they're looking forward to in 2026, we have STLPR morning newscaster Abby Larico. Abby, welcome.
Always good to be here, Elaine.
And of course, we have STLPR's digital editor, Jessica Rogan. Thanks to you as well.
Thanks, Elaine.
So, how we miss. Do you think that in St. Louis, we are more inclined to mourn closed restaurants, Abby or Jessica?
I think we both agree on this.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We definitely miss restaurants.
I mean, more than people do in other places.
Speaking as a native St. Louisan who has lived here and left and come back, my perspective, I'll say first, is yes, because I'm one of many who grow up here and then leave and then come back. And then part of what you call home when you come back is those mainstays, those institutions. And when we lose things like that, we get really upset about it. Also, there's a lot of that kind of little sibling pride in St. Louis. And so when something closes, I think we take it kind of personally. I don't know, Jessica, your perspective on why?
Well, I am not originally from St. Louis, although I have lived here a long time now. And I can say, you know, not definitively that we miss restaurants the most, but we really miss them when they go and we talk about them and we mourn them. And I think part of it is actually because we have such a strong restaurant scene here. Mm. Like, we take that for granted a little bit, but there are better, more interesting, cheaper restaurants here than a lot of places. And so when they fall, like, we talk about them for years. Like, before this conversation, Ivy and I were crying over fried chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a thing to
We're
cry
usually
over.
Crying over fried chicken, but, okay. You know, just happened to be again today.
Tears of joy and of loss. Are there any long-closed restaurants that you wish were still around? I mean, in the time that you've lived here, Jessica, is there one in particular that just stands out as, oh, my gosh?
Yes. So I wish I could go into Melt on Cherokee Street. If you never went to Melt, it was this, like, insane breakfast waffle place. I mean, it was open all hours, but it had mostly waffles, different kinds of waffles, lots of toppings, and the craziest decor. It was very hipster, but like kind of art school. And I can say this as an art school kid, like kind of random, like maybe someone just threw like some confetti against the wall and it stayed there, but it was great. And like, it had such a strong community and it had that Cherokee DIY vibe. And I wish I could go get a delicious waffle.
How long has it been closed?
I mean, I think like a decade now.
Okay. How about for you, Abby?
So one of the last places my husband and I went out to on a date night dinner before our baby was born this spring was Bistro La Floraison in Clayton. They are not closed, but the restaurant that used to be there, Bar Le Frere, if I could be transported back in time, it would probably be my birthday several years ago at Bar Le Frere. And I would love to have another meal there or really at any of Zoe Robinson's restaurants there in Clayton. Of course, you know, E. Fratellini is now home to Wright's Tavern. You've got Bar Moro where Billie Jean used to be. And again, Bistro La Floraison where Bar Le Frere was. But just like kind of what Jessica was saying, the vibe, very different, more quirky, romantic, you know, with the antlers on the wall. And it just kind of felt like you fell into like a late night French party. And it was wonderful. It was delightful. They've been closed since the pandemic, those restaurants never really recovered from the back and forth of pandemic closures. And Zoe ultimately sold the restaurants off and got out of the business, moved on. But she was a longtime St. Louis restaurateur who I think really left it all on the dance floor in St. Louis with the different things she did. And I wish that I could raise another glass at Bar Le Frere one more time.
Mm-hmm. I think this is a great start because we have two very different restaurants, completely different vibes, and also in different parts of the city and the region. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, there are other restaurant closings that happened this year that have, you know, really saddened you. So Abby, tell us about the one that is at the top of your list.
So when we're talking about like taking it personally, as we tend to do in St. Louis, this one was particularly personal for me as a person who was raised on Filipino food, who was so excited to see just in 2024 a Filipino restaurant opening in my neighborhood, which is now Tower Grove South, Manileño. And they opened up, and it was a unique offering in the sense that you first walked in, it was a sun-drenched little cafe with ube lattes and pastries with corned beef and pandan, and just a really great way to, if you're walking by and unsure of Filipino food, which a lot of people still are, get a bit of a sampling of that, but then make your way to the dining area where, when I would describe it to people, it's like if all of my dad's cousin's kids were running a restaurant. Like, that's kind of the vibe it was. It very much felt like a family-owned place, and family-owned and operated place, because it was. It was, as we've discussed, Jessica, you were talking to the ownership when they first launched last year, and it was the realization of a long-held family dream to open a space like that. It quietly closed over the summer. Fo Long made its way into that space in that building. I've been trying to figure out if there could be anything next for them, unable to get in touch and confirm anything, but I know people who miss the pastries and coffees especially would love to know. Mm-hmm. So
I'll put that investigative hat on and make sure you let us know. And speaking of family, one of the places that is on your list, Jessica, has family in the name.
Yeah, so you're referring to John Viviano and Sons Grocers, which was this like three-generation owned grocer and very small like food window, I would call it, within the store on the hill on Shaw. I used to work like just down the block from there, and I would go down on my lunch break and get a sandwich, and then like want to take a nap, of course, because they were like all served on this like very fresh giant Italian bread, but they were so worth it. And the store itself is probably like the thing that I'll miss the most, although I do still dream about the sandwiches. But you know, it was one of those like hill grocers where you walk in and like it is jam-packed with shelves full of delicious Italian stuff. Like, you know, everything from olive oil to wine to spices to pasta and cookies. And it was just so fun to, like, go around and poke around there and order a sandwich and then, you know, eat it on your lunch break. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's an Italian tie to a place, Abby, I know that you had wanted to mention because of maybe the generations that have been there or had been there.
Yeah, it feels wrong to exclude a specific name from any conversation related to the restaurants we said goodbye to in 2025, and that name is Tony's. From 1946, That's a long time ago when you're talking restaurants, especially, you know, and Tony's, of course, is the fine dining destination that was downtown and ultimately made its way to Clayton before closing earlier this year after its final Valentine's Day service. I think just the story behind this, of course, it involves high school when, you know, legendary Vince Bomarito took charge of the family business when his father passed away and elevated Tony's Spaghetti House to a white tablecloth place where anyone who was anyone coming to St. Louis, who was in the St. Louis area wanting to commemorate something special, went to Tony's, a place known mostly for its hospitality, frankly. And that's an ethos they kept up. They, you know, evolved a little bit here and there, but, you know, 1946, multiple generations, that's a lot of work and love put into one place. And ownership now decided, James Bomarito decided it's time to head in a new direction, and they closed the space earlier this year. So a lot of people having a lot of gift cards to use that Valentine's, by that Valentine's Day deadline earlier this year.
And I'm sure that's one that people are like, okay, that is my restaurant that I miss.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I wish I could go back to. Yeah.
They might have the memories there. And also one that maybe people had taken for granted thinking it would always be here.
Mm-hmm. I can just imagine all of the photographs that people must have of like special occasions and pictures taken there.
Yeah.
We're digging into what this past year has held for restaurants in and around the St. Louis region. And we're doing that with STLPR morning newscaster Abby Larico and STLPR digital editor Jessica Rogan. Moving to cafes, there were a lot of them that opened in the region in September. There were also those that closed their doors this year. What were the notable cafe closures for you, Jessica?
So I was shocked when I heard that Quarrelsome Coffee was going to close in the Central West End. This was in that space that had formerly been the Block. And if you'd ever been to the Block, it was like this dark, moody restaurant. And when Mark Schwartz bought the building, Mark is the was the co-owner of Omega Yeast, which is like a craft brew yeast company. You know, he renovated it. It was like bright, modern, open. And he had this very interesting idea to use the yeast from his beer company to ferment the coffee beans. And that is just such an unusual idea that, like, that alone would have been enough for me to be like, okay, this needs to be here long term. But it was also just very popular. Like, every time you went in there, it was totally packed.
Totally packed.
Very popular study space. It was just good coffee. And they closed after 2 years. You know, I think I've speculated on this show before that it was because Omega Yeast sold. But I don't really know that. It's just a wild guess.
An informed guess, though.
Informed guess, yes. Yeah.
Jovic Brothers is another one that was on your list, Jessica.
Yeah. So Casey Jovic is kind of like a longtime St. Louis butcher slash restaurant person. And he had opened Jovic Brothers Cafe downtown like less than a year before it closed. And he like was very thoughtful about it, like wanted a quick service place for lunch and breakfast for people who are working downtown or like, you know, at hotels, and put that together. He was very proud of having a restaurant downtown. Like, he told me that it was like, this gave him this extra like bit of pride to, like, you know, he felt like a real St. Louisan. But, you know, it closed. He also closed his deli in Westport Plaza. But the Jovic Brothers Burgers is still open in Princeton Heights. And I, you know, I can recommend that you go get a smash burger you know, enjoy.
Yeah. Sit-down restaurants sometimes are not just places for eating, but they are gathering spaces for community. And you've alluded to some of that with these coffee places that you've mentioned, Jessica. There is one that I'd like to hear your thoughts on, Abby, and it's connected to beer.
Yeah, so Well Spent Brewing Company in Midtown had a couple acts, I think you could say, and I think it would be an appropriate metaphor because it was housed in a former theater, and this is a type of place where they really were catering to, I think, the more recent taste. They were actually ahead of the trend, I think, when you're talking about low ABV, kind of more drinkable, sessionable type of beers. They opened in 2018. Not long after, though, you know, finances were getting a little tough, so the founding owner and brewer sold the place to someone who just really wanted to see it continue to thrive, and it had quite a devoted clientele. It kind of had that, I don't know if you could say, like, old school beer hall vibe, but it did, with the trivia nights, and it's dog friendly and kid friendly and just kind of one of those great gathering places, especially in a part of town that doesn't have a ton of foot traffic, though. That can be tricky to keep up. And ultimately, it just, again, another case of an owner ready to move on to the next thing. Listed it for sale with hopes of a third act. At this point, though, all the supplies, they weren't able to find that, and so all the supplies were sold off to other breweries in the area. So what will be next in that space? You're going to have to stay tuned.
Yeah. There's a space that people are hoping will come back, and that is Gelateria. And we've been watching the story around that for some time. Jessica, catch us up on what happened there, and... Yeah, like what the prospects are.
So Gelateria, there was an overnight fire in the basement. Sometimes we hear about kitchen fires at restaurants, but this one was like, it was underground and it tore through the building in March. We talked to the co-owner, Andrew Fair, like kind of at the end of that month. And he said that, like, the first floor and the basement were, like, a total gut. And I touched base with him right before this conversation, and they were working on getting the funding to rebuild. So he is committed to rebuilding. But, you know, this one was a big, big loss for St. Louis. It was really, like, one of the only late-night spots to get coffee left. I know a few have opened since, but, like, it was... It's been there since 2007. It was part of the South Grand Business District. There aren't actually that many places to get gelato also. And they had, like, great food, fun patio. And it just felt like part of the restaurant landscape here. So to just have it close, even temporarily, has been devastating.
Mm-hmm. And people are waiting for it to come back. Mm-hmm. Abby, Lottawatta Creek in Fairview Heights, Illinois, was known, I think, for really big portions, mm-hmm. but was also a community gathering space, right?
Yeah, a place that families gathered for almost three decades, and people who had fond memories of getting together there. It's the name is just fun to say, and so I can imagine all sorts of people being like, let's get dinner at Lottawatta Creek, and it kind of had that, not campy, but like camp... ish.
Oh, okay.
Using camp as an adjective there. Vibe to it. Though people who've loved it for a long time, I will say, may have experienced an early mourning period due to its rebrand earlier this year. It temporarily shut down to switch to a fast casual concept, so counter service rather than sitting around the table and having wait staff come by to your table, which was relatively short-lived. I'm not sure how popular that concept was, that change-up. So with all the hardships that, I mean, we've named so many different types of restaurants that have closed this year, and so that change-up was not enough to sustain it, and ownership made the decision to shut the doors there. However, Lottawatta Creek's Chicken Shack in Florissant does remain open. Also fun to say. Mm-hmm. And they are going to be bringing some menu items on from the OG Lottawatta Creek. Mm-hmm. Lottawatta Creek.
Yes.
I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to say Lottawatta Creek.
And I'm glad to know that I was pronouncing it right. Sometimes I get them wrong here. What are some of the major trends that affected the restaurant scene this past year, Abby?
Well, you know, again, just it being a tough year for so many people when it comes to the economy, change-ups in what's being tariffed, what is in short supply, you know, beef prices. That's a big thing we've been talking about a lot this year. So, you know, if a restaurant specializes in cheap burgers, that might get quite difficult, or steaks, or the kind of foods that might require a little bit more moving around, or international ingredients. I know on this show, we've heard a lot about how tariffs impact international ingredients. And so that's tough, especially on these mom and pop smaller international restaurants where margins at all restaurants are quite thin already, all local owned restaurants at least. So that's definitely, if it's impacting your kitchen, it's impacting restaurant kitchens as well.
Right, right. Jessica, is there something that you've noticed?
Well, you know, the big story of this year outside of restaurants was obviously the tornado that just hurt many St. Louis neighborhoods so deeply. You know, of course, it also smashed through a bunch of restaurants, especially around like the Del Mar Loop area and north of that. A lot of them have reopened. A lot of them haven't. And I think we're going to see like that area is going to permanently lose some, you know, some businesses there. And also related to that, a lot of those restaurants like the Danny Eckenhorst restaurants like Steve Hot Dogs and The Fountain did some GoFundMes to help get over the like the hump of reopening. And in general, we've seen more businesses take to social media being like, hey, it's really slow. Like if you are thinking about ordering out or coming, you know, coming to the restaurant tonight, like please do so. Like we need help. And that seems to be working for people actually.
As we look ahead, Jessica, what can you tell us about some of the new restaurants, bars, and cafes that are on the calendar to open in the new year?
So one that I'm really excited about is Songbird, which is this like very delicious brunch lunch place, is moving into like the Morgan Ford Business District into what was like Three Monkeys space. Which is just much bigger than where they have been. And I dream about their breakfast tamales, so I'm very excited for it.
That's my favorite thing on the menu, too.
Yes. You've been over here, like, nodding so vigorously.
I'm like, can't wait.
What are some of the other ones?
Well, so we, you know, you said the New Year, but there's a few that just opened that I think are worth shouting out. So the Scottish Arms,
yes, right.
Just reopened. It had been long closed, and this is also Central West End, but like a different place or a different area of it, more close actually to where Quarrelsome Coffee used to be. So that has just reopened, and I know people in St. Louis are so excited about that. Taco Buddha opened yesterday, actually, in what had been the former Olio space in Botanical Heights. And that has been, you know, empty for way too long.
And it's too cool of a space to be empty.
Oh, yeah. Right, such a beautiful little restaurant.
Right on the
corner. Yeah. And one more that I'm personally was very excited to reopen was the London Tea Room.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. They had been in Tower Grove South. They had moved, and it didn't really work out with the new space, and now they have reopened. It's just very exciting.
And it's interesting because Taco Buddha has recently, speaking of what you were saying about social media call-outs and whatnot, Taco Buddha has been very transparent with some changes to their dining model and their menu and things like that on social media, along with opening a new place. So, you know, that kind of conversation restaurants are having isn't just out of maybe, hey, come support us, but like, hey, we want you to know that like this is a communal thing that we're doing here when we feed you. And so maybe that connectivity that people can feel can not just be out of a place of panic and keeping a place open, but then just feeling more connected to supporting that place in general.
Yeah. Well, that seems like a good thing to think about as we think about 2026. STLPR Morning Newscaster Abby Lurico and St. Louis Public Radio Digital Editor Jessica Rogan, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lane.
And thanks for a great year of dishing about STL's food scene.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.